Previously on Thomas and the Bible, as we have become accustomed to, we read another passage with no narrative whatsoever. However, it did contain some unequivocally unambiguous prophecies, such as, "Yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak tree, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." With a return to a normative Thomas Yorn count of 3.
Thank you, Harley, for that wonderful intro, as usual. All right, Thomas and the Bible, that's the name of this podcast. So I'm here, but where's the Bible? No, it's here too. That would be nice if it wasn't, though. I'd be like, well, it's just me. I'll talk for 5 minutes, and then I'll be done. And we wouldn't have to read Isaiah, which is it's turning out to be, more of the same terrible Old Testament crap, but that's what is to be expected when you're reading the Old Testament. Let's see. Yeah, I'll just get into it. Isaiah 10. I was reading a bit about Isaiah just to try to see if there was something interesting to talk about, and in the notes I was reading, it was saying that two of the famous lines in the prophecy of Isaiah, which was one we already had, it said that the swords to the plowshares and the how does anyone ever quote the Bible? I don't get it. Like I'm trying to remember something I just read 10 seconds ago, and it was like, oh, the swords to the plowshares and nation won't go war against nation or something. Like whenever someone quotes the Bible in a movie or a TV show or something like that, it's always like exact quote, and the Lord said that, and the other person like always knows what it is, like Isaiah 10, they can always, like, people always know what the hell, where it's from. If it was me, I'd be like, oh yeah, that reminds me of a Bible quote. Like even if I was super into the Bible, I'd be like, oh, that reminds me of a quote. Oh, who is it? Is it like Galatians? Is that a book later on? I don't know. Maybe it's like John. Might be Luke. I don't know. One of them, this would be me quote, like in a TV show quoting the Bible. John or Luke, one of them said like, it was something like, and Jesus said that, let he who is without sin, I remember that part, cast the last stone, cast the first stone. I think it was the first stone. It'd be cool if it was the last stone. Then it's like, okay, everyone's stoned the shit out of these people. And then if there's anyone without sin, they can throw the last one. Cause I mean, they haven't earned it. when you haven't sinned, you haven't earned the stone throwing. So it was good. That was actually an important sermon to establish the order of, when people get to throw stones to kill other people. So it was very important because up until then, everyone was fighting to throw the stones earlier and earlier. But, that was helpful. But anyway, that would be me quoting scripture. You know, these people always quote it exactly, word for word. Is that something? Now, the reason I'm going off on this tangent is because nothing happens in the Bible. So I'm just, I've stumbled onto something maybe interesting. So I'm going to go with it. Is that something when you're a screenwriter, you just go, oh, I'm going to find a part from the Bible. Quote it word for word, done. But really that's not how things work. I mean, it should be like, I'm going to find a quote from the Bible and then I'll like badly paraphrase it. And I'll say, well, I think that was from Isaiah 12. Could have been Isaiah like 40. I don't know. How do you remember the number? Do these people who quote Bible verses, they just spend their lives memorizing certain Bible verses, right? That obviously must be what it is. And then, if you memorize like a ton of them, then you're like really sagely, you're really wise and stuff. But anyway, that would be me. I want to write a movie where someone's like, and the Lord, I think it was a Mark, there might have been Corinthians actually, first Corinthians. Anyway, and the Lord shall... Oh, what was it? It was essentially, everyone, the Lord, essentially be good. You should be a good person. I think it was the nature of the quote. Like, I want to do a movie where that's how the guy quotes it. Something like, the Lord will like good people And if you're bad, he's probably not going to like you. That was the quote, something like that. Either in 1st, 2nd, or 4th Corinthians. I don't know. All right, I've stalled long enough. Isaiah 10. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness in which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations for a few. For he saith, Are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Oh, yeah. Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? You know, I was just saying that the other day. I was just telling my friend, hey, I've noticed Hamath is like just like Arpad lately. Have you noticed? I drove into to Hamath, and I just, you know, I opened the window. I was like, just got that Arpad smell, you know? Same goes for Calno and Carchemish. And my friend was like, yeah, no, you're right. I hadn't noticed. Yeah, you drive in, go right now. Drive into Calno, and I defy you to not tell me that it's like Carchemish. There's no way. You're going to drive it right into Calno. Oh, wait, Princes altogether. I think these are places. Yeah, Samaria and Damascus. Okay, I saw, are not my princes altogether kings? Neither is hard to people. I don't know. Anyway. As my hand hath found, that wasn't funny anyway. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, do so to Jerusalem and her idols? I think this is saying, oh yeah. So basically God, or somebody who's speaking for God, you never know. You never know if it's actually God, if it's just a middleman. Somebody is saying, God's saying like, oh, Jerusalem, you know, you have idols, which is bad. If there's anything we've learned in the Bible, it's that idol worship is bad. And, God's like, I've killed people for less. He's like, see that idol? Yeah. I've killed people for less than that. And they're like, oh, well, they don't care. The Jews never learn. They don't reform. But anyway, he's saying like, oh, this is just like this other place, you know? You think just because you're Jews, you can have idols and I won't care? Oh, no. Oh, no. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory as high looks. Of his high looks, sorry. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and I have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod... Oh, that's interesting. So God's saying like, yeah, you're just the axe. Like, I was the one who chopped down that tree. Or that's a metaphor for killed a bunch of people and stole a bunch of stuff. So so when you kill a bunch of people and steal a bunch of stuff, don't get too proud of it. Because God's like... Because all-knowing, all-perfect, all-loving God is like, hey, man, I was the one who butchered all those people. What the hell? You're taking my cred. What's going on, man? That's because that's what a God would do. as the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as the staff should lift it up itself as if there was no wood. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of, I don't know why I did that. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more gain stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One in Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto thy mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow the righteousness with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined, this is a long one, in the midst of all the land. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and his yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He is come to Aiath, A-I-A-F-H. A-I-A-T-H, Aith. He is passed to Migron at Michmash. He has laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Better call Gibeah of Saul. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmena is removed. And the inhabitants of Gebim gather themselves to flee. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. All right, that's the end of 10. That was a long one. We're going to 15, I think, right? 10 to 15. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. I don't know if I want to hear about this. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. I think that's a famous quote. That was the one that they said they don't think Isaiah even wrote. Did I finish saying that? Maybe I got interrupted. Yeah, because, you know, that's how it works. God's perfect book. We don't even know who the hell wrote what. And the people who put it together just thought, like, oh, yeah, this was Isaiah. He wrote that. But they were wrong because they weren't as sophisticated as we are now. And, that sort of tells me that God wasn't guiding them in any meaningful way. It must be so nice to say, like, oh, it's just inspired by God. Like, what does that mean? I don't. Someone explain, like, how that works. And the cow and the bear shall I feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. So basically, animals will stop killing things and people, is what it's saying, because everything will be so great. Because that's why animals do it. It's not because, like, that's how they evolved to get food. It's because, like, humans are bad, you know, and, you know, God. Oh, man, sorry, I'm tired today. This could be a bad one for yawns. Yeah, animals kill things because they're just assholes. They're just like, oh, man, I don't need to eat, but, man, do I want to kill something. Let's go kill that kid. Yeah, dude, totally. And then not eat it, because that's not why we do it. We do it for the love of killing. And this, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again on the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. All right, there's a lot of prophesying, like exactly what's going to happen, who's going to go where. At this point, oh man, this is bad. Oh, we're going to push a new record. At this point, if I were a guy who believed in this even, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I don't need to know all this now, right? So basically, I need to not worship idols, and then I'm good. And then as far as the details of how God wants to destroy everyone or recover, you know, the Jews, you know, whatever. I trust him. He's God. He'll work it out. I don't need to read all these pages and pages of exactly how, like, everyone else is going to be screwed and we're going to be good, you know, once we're good. Anyway. And, The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, good, 12 is short. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Yeah, because he needs to know, guys, the Lord has been having a bad day, you know. I don't know what to say. The Lord, he's not feeling himself. It would really help out if y'all, you know, if you all could just mention so he can hear it, you know, just that his name is exalted, you know, it just makes him feel better. And, you know, call upon his name when you're doing things. Just say like, oh, hey, you know, I love that God, you know, just to make him, it's been a rough week for him, you know. He's lost his job, and you know, his mortgage is underwater, and it's been bad. So I'm just saying do this little thing just to kind of make God feel better, you know. Do it for God, you know. Like, why do we need to do this for God? Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Except the places where it's not. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Okay, 13. Oh man, it's long again. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, I guess is the title. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go unto the gate of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, howl ye, howl ye, howl ye, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty, from Bruce Almighty. As soon as Bruce Almighty comes out, it's going to ruin movies forever. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Those terrible are so haughty. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger, and shall be as the chaste roe, as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. That's nice. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes will not spare children. Yeah, more bad things that are going to happen to the bad people. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldees, of the child, audio's messing up again, sorry. Of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and the dragons. Dragons? I guess there's going to be dragons too, by the way. Newsflash. I don't know why he was kind of playing that one close to his god vest. He's like, oh yeah, and the dragons, they'll be in their pleasant palaces. Like, oh, okay. Wait a minute, bruh? Dragons? And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. All right, 15. Be short, be short, be short, be short. Oh, what? No, that's only 14? God, I'm not even close to done. That is depressing. Okay. This one is so boring. Can't wait to get through Isaiah. Only like 470 more chapters of Isaiah, guys. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. Oh, they're getting their own land now. And they will never have a conflict. Oh my God, that's like five. I'm keeping count now that Harley does. Harley, five. That's five yawns, I think. And they'll never, you know, have any trouble with any group like Hamas or anything. Nothing like that. That'll never happen to the Jews. No, oh, not to mention like a Holocaust. That'll never happen. There won't be any of that. Like, definitely no Holocaust in your future. The Jews are like, what is that word? What do you mean? Oh, nothing. You don't need to worry about it because it's not going to happen. According to this prophecy, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's kind of, you'd think the Old Testament would have mentioned it. Like, hey, guys, also Jews, maybe don't hang out in and around Germany, you know, in the years like the 30s. This is a timeless book. In the 1930s, leading up to the 40s, like maybe just, I'd be out. It'd just be safe. I'd be out of Germany by like 1923, maybe. Just get out of there. No need to worry about what's going to happen because it'll be avoided because you'll all have read this book and this book will explain. Just don't bother. Just go on vacation for 40 years. And that's all God would have needed to say. And there you go. Holocaust spared. Who knows how different the world would be if, you know, the Germans didn't have the scapegoat of the Jews. If they all just left like long before things got bad, and then things got bad, they would have to Holocaust themselves, man, because they only have themselves to blame. I don't know. I wonder what would have happened. Anyway, and the strangers shall be joined, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage. Well, you know, maybe you're into bondage. I don't know. Hold on. Cool it, Lord. Like maybe some of them are into the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against. It means feller like someone who would fell trees, but I think it should be feller like, hey, young feller, no feller is come up against us. Hey, old feller. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones. You know, I just thought of something. That voice, I think it's like that classic. There's a guy who's in a lot of the like Disney cartoons, I think. Like maybe like Robin Hood or, you know, some of those older ones. It's like, oh, like he has that kind of voice. You know, I was just thinking about it. There's his accent, like old feller, like that kind of accent. And then there's the fact that he's got that like almost puberty voice, like, oh, like I could just talk like that, like that. And that's two separate things. But in my mind, they're like the same thing. There's no like, oh, here's the British guy who's like, oh, hello. Oh, wait, maybe that is a character. What is that? What does that sound like? That sounds like a character. Okay, that's going to ruin my point, but that sounds like something. But you know what I mean? Like that, those are two of the same thing. It's like, well, shucks, you know? And it's like, you don't hear a lot of other accents where it's like, oh, that you have the different accent, but you also have the puberty weird, like voice going in and out thing. I don't know. It's kind of, I just thought of it. It's not funny or anything, but anyway, thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy viols. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Lucifer? Who is this Lucifer? What is this character? I mentioned this last time. Who is this guy? It's never explained. Yeah, we all know, okay, it's the devil. I don't know if this is explained later. O Lucifer, son of the morning. So someone fell from heaven. How art thou cut down to the ground? which didst weaken the nations. Huh. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So Lucifer's plan was to get really high. It's like, dude, I'm going to get so high up there. I'm going to be higher than God. You know how high God is? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now there's hell. What is this concept? Can you tell me what that is? To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So he made the earth tremble at some point? Tremble? That made the world as wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? What is all this backstory that we've never heard of? A more perfect book than this perfect book would perhaps have explained what the hell this is about. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of the evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have proposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him under foot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden apart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath proposed, hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? Anyone? Anyone want to disannul this? No? Anyone? Did I see a hand back there? You were going to disannul this? No? Okay. No one, yeah. As the book says, who shall disannul it? I don't know. Can you define disannul, please? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not, thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina. Art, this is Palestine's hot sister. Hey, Palestina, looking good. For there shall come from the north a smoke monster from Lost, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. It sounds like no one's allowed to masturbate. I don't know what that... None shall be alone in his appointed times. To me, that's... I don't know. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. Okay. We're on 15. And it's short. The burden of Moab, because in the night of... that's the title, The Burden of Moab. It blends right in because it just looks like the rest of it. But like I said before, he should have done the heading HTML. Because in the night AR of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence, because in the night Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence, he has gone up to Bejith and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. on the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly, and Heshbon shall cry, and Elealeh, their voice shall be bearded even unto Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out, his life shall be grievous unto him. My music's going to come in, I'm going to stop it. There we go. Nope, stop. No, that's me. There, okay. I'm really dumb. Okay. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee unto Zoar and Heifer of 3 years old. For by the mounting up of Lu Heath, with weeping shall they go up. For in the way of Horonaim they shall raise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate, for the hay is withered away. The grass faileth, there is no green thing. Therefore the abundance they have gotten, and that which they have laid up, shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling thereof of Beerlim. For the waters of Dimon shall be full of blood, for I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him that escapeth of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. All right, finally done. Today's boring Isaiah. Now, I tried to make that interesting as best I could, as I always try to do, and who knows, maybe sometimes succeed. Otherwise, you all would have quit listening by now. So, there you have it. That's the reading for this week. I would like to say, please check out Atheistically Speaking, and of course, please write a review on iTunes for this podcast. And if you are so inclined, if you are just the best listener in the world, write one and subscribe on iTunes to Atheistically Speaking and to this podcast, because that helps my numbers. My iTunes rankings are terrible. I don't know why. I don't really understand it. They're good for Thomas and the Bible, but for Atheistically Speaking, they're terrible. I don't get it. I have the same number of listeners. It makes no freaking sense to me. But yeah, I mean, if you think of it, please subscribe on iTunes. It'll help me out. I'd like to thank my patrons, who are quite simply the best. They're just my favorite people in the world. John P. He's the big one for this podcast. Daryl Keyes, John Bodley, Katie Kresnel, Tom Chambers, Marcel, Jeremy Sharp, Brian Gerford, Lee Primesberger, David Vandervlies, Joseph Hazelton, and Travis Peterson are my top guys and girls there. Thank you so much. If you want to contribute, go to patreon.com/TNTheB, all one word. Get us to one of our many goals, or at least a few goals. Get us to the next one, and then later on it'll be bonus episodes and stuff. So if you'd like to see the show go on and succeed, get on there. Thank you. All right, I will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. I love you guys, and adios.